Those of you with a religious persuasion may wish to say a silent prayer. Those of you without may wish to cross your fingers and hope for the best. But all of us need to remember that in this chamber, we are the servants of the people of Cambridgeshire. Thank you. I have apologies this afternoon from councillors Bullen, Harty, Hickford, Hudson, Van der Ven, Loynes. Is there anybody else I need to add to that list? Jolly good. The first item on the agenda is declarations of interests. Under this item, members are asked to declare interests under the Code of Conduct in any item on the agenda for today's meeting if they are not already registered on the Register of Interests. May I have any declarations now, please? Excellent. The next item is agenda item 2, the Cambridgeshire and Peterborough devolution. Given the importance of this item, I propose to invite group leaders to speak first and, if appropriate, to exercise my discretion in relation to speech length. As you know, the leader of the council, Councillor Count, together with the leaders of Peterborough City Council and the five district councils, has been closely involved in this process. I therefore propose to invite him to move the recommendations as set out on pages 4 and 5 of the council agenda. Not so fast. Thank you, Councillor Count. However, before I invite him to speak, I need to propose two technical alterations to the recommendations. The combined order requires an elected member to be named as the council's appointee. I therefore propose to alter recommendation small Roman 5 to remove the leader of the council and to replace with Councillor Count, and as a consequence to alter recommendation small Roman 7 to remove council leader and replace with council's appointee. Is everybody clear? A question that we can ponder on for the rest of the afternoon. Can I now ask the Vice Chairwoman to second and for the meeting to indicate its consent without discussion?
Happy to second.
Are you happy to accept?
Aye.
Thank you. Once Councillor Count has moved the motion and it has been seconded, I then propose to invite any amendments. Councillor Count.
I do so move the motion, Chairman.
Thank you. Do you have a seconder? Yes. Councillor Walsh?
I second, Mr. Chairman, and reserve my right to speak.
Thank you. Councillor Count.
Thank you, Chairman. So, devolution, the conversation started long ago, not in this chamber, but the conversation was opened for us in the UK, the Scottish and the Welsh, Northern Ireland. They all had their devolved parliaments, and it meant powers and funding went to them. And there was a bit of an outcry in Britain, and they said they get to make decisions about their own stuff. What about us? Talking about devolved things here. And alongside those MPs talking about matters being decided at a national level, local councils also made the case to government that devolution should extend as far as councils, that powers and funding held in Whitehall should move down to a more localised area. And I'm pleased to say that Cambridgeshire and Peterborough has been involved in those discussions directly with government, and those discussions have led, through the engagement of me, other council leaders. This council has debated the issue many a time, briefings, seminars, to arrive at the point where we are here today. And that point is, you have a deal, a proposal, a devolution document on offer in front of you today. Accept it, vote for it, and you get it. Government has signed the other half. Don't accept it, don't support it, you don't get it. There are no minor if, buts or maybes in it. It's take the whole lot or leave the whole lot. And we've seen up and down the country, when councils have decided to cherry pick elements at this later stage that they don't like, that the document has been removed. So what is it that's in here that we're going to debate today? There are various fascinating things like £20 million a year for 30 years for infrastructure, totalling £600 million. There's £70 million for council housing in Cambridge City and £100 million for affordable housing throughout the entire area. There's the devolution of the apprentice skills budget and the age budget through to the combined authority, which will involve giving the local people the ability to directly elect a mayor. And I don't think that huge amounts of people out there would be swayed by that kind of conversation. And we're not here to actually sway them in that way. The thing that sways individuals is, will it change my life? And I know that many years ago, when I first became a councillor, the only reason I put my name down to stand to be a councillor was I believed that, quite arrogant of me, I know, that I would be better than the other people on that ballot slip at coming to a place like this and trying to influence in a positive manner people's day-to-day lives. So when I revisit and look at what those things mean for people, I have to ask myself the question, will it or will it not improve the day-to-day lives of the people who put all of us here? £600 million for infrastructure, £20 million a year for 30 years. We will be building new roads with that, and we will be rebuilding part of the railway network. Will that improve people's lives? Will they be able to get from their home to their workplace, to their leisure facility, to their relatives that they visit, wherever it is they want to go? Will their life be improved by that? The answer is clearly yes, of course they will. When I look at the next element, skills budgets. At the moment, the skills budgets are handled by Whitehall, and they're going to be devolved locally. Do we have the same demands for skills in the south of the county, perhaps for lab technicians, scientists, as we do in the north of the county, where we perhaps want rural engineers? That's what we need here. And is that a decision best made at Whitehall, or is that best a decision made locally? The answer is locally, and by making better decisions and having those budgets and powers, will we improve people's lives? Will people leaving apprenticeship programs walk out of their apprenticeship into the warm embrace of an employer that knows that they have got the skills that they need to give them a job? Of course it will improve people's lives. Another facet, and by no means the least, 2,500 affordable homes going to come out of the ground within a 5-year period. £170 million the government will give us to unlock housing in this area. Now, we have affordability issues in the north of this area, in Fenland, in a different way that we do in the south. But the city and South Hampshire, Huntingdonshire, throughout this area, will 2,500 new affordable homes make any difference to people's lives? Of course it will. So when I stand up here today and I think about why people put me here, why people put their cross in the box to represent them, should I vote for this or should I not? I've identified all the positives. There's lots more, but I've identified some very significant ones. And when I hear the negatives, that there's the possibility of a directly elected mayor, which our consultation actually favoured as an overall principle. When I look at whether people talk about an extra layer of bureaucracy, but it's actually bureaucracy handled badly in central government moving locally, I think, is there any chance whatsoever that those minute shy of sideshow details outweigh the huge benefits that this devolution document will bring? It is a very, very easy question to answer. I became a councillor to make a difference, and today I have the opportunity to perhaps make the greatest difference that any of us have had the opportunity for in a generation. This is a once-in-a-lifetime chance. It is that big. And I urge you all, like me, to make a positive difference to the lives of the people that put you here by supporting this.
Thank you.
Thank you. I understand that there is an amendment. Before I invite Councillor Netzinger to move her amendment, I need to point out that the amendment to recommendation Roman 7 is no longer required, as this was addressed by the technical alteration agreed by Council. Councillor Netzinger.
I'd like to move the amendment that members will find in front of them.
Thank you. Do you have a seconder?
Yes.
I second the motion and reserve my right to speak.
Thank you, Councillor Dent. Councillor Netzinger.
This amendment aims to try and introduce a small element of political balance to the combined authority which the documents in front of us are intending to set up. The proposal within the main document to appoint Steve Count to be this council's representative on the combined authority would leave the Conservatives with 6 out of the 7 places on that combined authority. Labour would have 1 representative from the City Council. Residents who had voted for the Liberal Democrats, for UKIP, or for independent councillors would be entirely unrepresented on this combined authority, a body which is being given huge powers over transport planning and many other areas. I would much prefer that this combined authority was not created. I think it lacks transparency and accountability, as I will explain in the main debate. But if it is to be created, please can we make this small change to try and ensure that there is slightly more political balance on the combined authority.
Thank you, Councillor Netzinger. Do I have any speakers on the amendment? Councillor Dent. Councillor Jenkins, you wish to speak on the amendment, do you? Now's your chance. I'm sorry, Councillor Dent, your moment still awaits.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Count seems to have forgotten that this is not a Tory-run council and he's not a strong leader. He is a strong leader, small s, small l, and I respect him for that. And I think he spoke very well, and I notice he did so without notes, so well done, sir. But we are a council that runs through committees with a strong emphasis on consensus. And what were the words you used before when we were stood for a minute of silent contemplation about us being servants of everyone in this county? So, as leader of the council, Councillor Count is not just the leader of the Conservative Party, but of all of us and all of those residents elsewhere in Cambridgeshire who have returned councillors of different political persuasions. It is important to represent all of us, and what we get the feeling of is that he is representing to us what the government wants of us. And what I would have preferred him to do was to develop the consensus of what this council wants of the government. No doubt we'll have lots of discussion later on about what devolution means or does not mean, but it does appear that devolution is tell us what we'll do and we'll do it for you. And this applies to the position of mayor. So given that Councillor Count has some problems in this area, I think it's a good idea to ask us to ask somebody else to be our representative on that combined authority who could better represent the interests of this entire chamber and the 500,000 people who live in Cambridgeshire. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Jenkins. Is there anybody else who wishes to Councillor Bowden.
Thank you, Chairman. I hadn't planned to speak on this amendment, but I am slightly confused by a comment made by Councillor Nethersinger. And I think the whole having this debate now, although it's correct procedurally, is slightly confusing because we haven't talked about the main debate, the main subject, yet we're talking about potential representation in the combined authority. But nevertheless, we are doing so. A comment was made by Councillor Nethersinger that she doesn't actually approve of this combined authority, but she thinks she should be the person who represents this council on it. And the thing which confuses me about it is this. I don't yet know, and we'll have this debate later, no doubt, whether we're talking about £1.2 billion, £3 billion, £770 million, or £270 million. I don't know what numbers we're talking about. But what I do know is we're talking about very, very large numbers indeed. And for us to say that we think it's appropriate to have as our representative on the combined authority someone who actually opposes the work of that combined authority doesn't seem to me to be the best way for us to put forward the interests both of this county council and the people we're meant to represent. Now, I'm sorry I'm confused about that, but it does seem to me that it's rather inappropriate for us to do that, which is why I'd oppose this amendment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Bowden. Right. Councillor Dent.
Thank you, Chair. This council, a number of years ago, voted to go to the committee structure, and it has worked very well. This combined authority has laid out in Councillor Netzinger's approach, where it's six conservative representation people on that board, doesn't represent everyone in this council. We all want a decision. If we are going to go this route where devolution will be taken, I believe everyone should have a say, not one particular party hogging the whole limelight. I would like to see, and I appreciate the confusion by Councillor Bowden, that Councillor Nethersinger is saying that she's opposed to it. I'm opposed to it for a number of reasons, but if it does happen, then we have to work within it, and we should work within it, and I think that Councillor Nethersinger would be a very, very good representative for the council. And so I would back this wholeheartedly and say, let's give everyone in Cambridgeshire the choice and have a fully representative combined authority. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Councillor Count, you are entitled to sum up.
Thank you, Chairman. So we've got a committee system here. I'm getting on fine with it. I think most people would say we deal with it in our own ways, and I have no issues with it. I think that you're kind of forgetting that the combined authority will actually have a committee of the leaders, so it's not a cabinet system. So I think there's some confusion there. I think there's further confusion by the fact that the voice of the representation of voices for all political groups will be through an overview and scrutiny committee, which has got proportional representation. So their voice is well and truly heard there and has been accommodated. The fear of whether it be six Conservative leaders or not, I operate in a home council. When I turn up at the combined authority, I represent the voice of this council, not the Conservative group, this council. And I do my best for this council, for all parts. And I'm going to tell you what it means to be for all parts. That means from Fenland, through East Cambs, Huntingdonshire, South Cambs, City, every part. The person you've elected to be your nomination was interviewed about devolution and what it meant for Cambridgeshire and Peterborough as a county councillor, as the leader of the Liberal Democrat Party, was interviewed on radio and was totally against devolution. And when the radio interviewer asked Councillor Nethersinger, well, where does that leave you if we don't have devolution, your reply was, we still have the city deal. That doesn't represent the people of Fenland. That doesn't represent the people of Huntingdonshire or East Cambridgeshire. That is a Cambridge-centric view, and it's something that was on Radio Cambridgeshire. And I was quite appalled to hear that from a county councillor, particularly a group leader. So I do represent everybody here. I do it every time I go there, and I represent all parts of the county and all parties. If you look, the Labour group run Cambridge City, and they are moving ahead with this devolution deal as well. So if I was some kind of nemesis that can't work with everybody, that can't take on people's views, we wouldn't have got this far. And in terms of the fact that asking this council what it wants, we have repeatedly asked this council what it wants through the members' briefings, through the seminar, through the voting process. And those people that don't believe in the democratic process of voting, which is how we've got here today, you're the ones that aren't believing what this council wants. It simply doesn't accord to minority views, the majority view has got us here. So therefore, I'm sorry, I'm not here to blow my own trumpet. I'm simply here to say that if you select me, I will continue to represent the views of everybody and every area on this council.
Thank you, Councillor Count. That concludes the debate on the amendment. We shall now move to a vote. Mrs Rowe, if you'd be kind enough, please, to talk us through it.
Would members please press the button marked present? Members in favour of the amendment, please press the button marked yes. Members against the amendment, please press the button marked no. Members wishing to abstain, please press the button marked abstain. I'm now closing the vote. Chairman, the result of the vote is 26 votes in favour, 36 against, no abstentions. The amendment is therefore lost.
Thank you, Mrs. Rowe. We now proceed to the... Councillor Reeve.
On the floor, I'd like to propose another amendment.
Okie dokie.
It's quite a simple one. It's based on the wording of the one we've just voted on, but I'm taking account of what Councillor Count suggested. And although I think Lucy would have been an excellent representative, making sure every voice on this council was heard at the combined authority, I take on board the point that she, as I am, are opposed to the combined authority. Now, Councillor Walsh, on the other hand, is seconding the motion, is positive about it, but is, importantly to me, a voice from an opposition party who's not going to get sucked into the groupthink of the Conservative Party in Cambridgeshire. On that basis, Chairman, I'd like to propose that Councillor Walsh be the appointee and that Councillor Netzinger be the substitute.
Thank you, Councillor Reeve. Councillor Walsh, I think I must ask you if you are happy to be...
It's not
in order. No. Okay. Given that Councillor Walsh has declined your very kind suggestion, Councillor Reeve. Okay, right, members, I think we're done with that pseudo-amendment. Do I have any other amendments? We are now going to proceed to the substantive discussion. Councillor Count, you initially spoke as leader or chairman of GPC. Do you wish to speak now as leader of the Conservative group?
My apologies for the confusion, Chair. I very much spoke as the leader of the council.
Indeed.
Thank you.
But you now have a second chance if you wish to speak. No, thank you very much. Councillor Netzinger. Pop your microphone on, could you please? Thank you.
Thank you. The Liberal Democrats have long been strong supporters of devolution in its meaning as decentralising of government and power down to local people. And we remain so. But this deal is not a devolution in that sense of giving power to local communities. Whatever it says on the front cover, this is a further centralisation of power. The briefings on the details of this deal have made it clearer than ever that there are no true powers coming down from government in this deal. There is a relatively small amount of money being offered in return for this council handing over powers over transport planning to a directly elected mayor. This deal takes powers up from councils to a mayor and a combined authority, and it brings nothing down from central government. It is not surprising that council leaders across Cambridgeshire have been twisting the arms of their backbenchers to support this deal, since they will be the representatives on the new combined authority, and as such, they will be gaining power in this new arrangement. But this deal has nothing to offer the residents of Cambridgeshire, and I believe it will quickly become even more unpopular than the city deal that we are grappling with in Cambridge. The city deal is unpopular because residents find it difficult to know who is responsible for the decisions that are to be made about their local area, and therefore difficult to influence those decisions. The residents of Milton Road and Histon Road and the A428 corridor have struggled to make their voices heard as decisions are made by the City Council, the County Council, the City Deal Assembly and the City Deal Board. Many residents have given up hours and hours of their time attending meetings only to feel that their views are ignored and little reason is given for their knowledge being brushed aside. These problems of lack of accountability and transparency will be magnified hugely by the new mayor and combined authority. When a new development is planned, for example, such as that at Waterbeach, who should residents contact to influence the process? Should they contact the mayor, who has responsibility for transport planning? Or should they contact the district council, who have responsibility for the local plan? Or should they contact the City Deal, who have the money to put in the new infrastructure? Money the mayor will not have, as the capital funding in this deal is tiny. The new mayor will take on responsibility for building new infrastructure, but he will take on no responsibility for the maintenance of that infrastructure once it is in place. The new mayor will be responsible for some bus services, and so will half the money, the new money we have been promised for revenue funding, immediately be eaten up subsidising the concessionary bus fares? The answer to that is that we don't know, because this last responsibility was added at the last minute by government. This whole deal is a mess, as has clearly been demonstrated by the need to postpone this meeting at the last minute because the paperwork hadn't arrived. The lack of accountability sits alongside the massive inefficiency of introducing yet another layer of local government. The documents before us show that the Mayor's office will have its own chief executive, its own monitoring officer, and numerous other staff. Yet this is another partner organisation that will mean more meetings, more accountants, more monitoring and managing when what is actually needed are better services. We need more money to grit our roads and care for our elderly and young people, not more money for administration. We are being asked to spend £881,000 a year on an office for a mayor, but we can't find £650,000 to grit our roads properly so adults and children can't get to work and school safely. This deal is not devolution, it is the worst kind of centralisation, putting more money into the pockets of politicians and bureaucrats. We should be simplifying local government by moving to unitary authorities, which would save money and increase efficiency and transparency, not adding another layer of bureaucracy. Serious reservations about this government's concept of devolution have been raised right across the country. The Local Government Association expressed doubts to the Select Committee, and most county councils have rejected these deals. We would not be alone in rejecting this proposal and asking for a true devolution deal without a mayor, as has already been done successfully in Cornwall. I ask this chamber to reject this proposal and go back to government with an alternative based on unitary authorities. These would reduce bureaucracy and increase accountability. We neither want nor need yet another layer of government, and nor do we want a mayor paid £70,000. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Netzinger. Members, can I ask you, I know Twitter probably is in meltdown by now, but I don't need to be alerted every time a member gets a new tweet. Could we switch our phones to silent, please? Councillor Dent, are you speaking for UKIP? Thank you.
I'm afraid I didn't have too long to prepare for this. I wasn't realised that this was happening. Councillor Netzinger summed up a number of the points quite well. You can't argue with the money that's proposed to come into Cambridgeshire and the good that money could do. However, I think that the caveats behind it and the devolution deal do not benefit the people of Cambridgeshire, and that we should be looking at other ways of getting this money. We are getting another layer of bureaucracy, which I disagree with completely. What I'm really concerned about is that out of that first tranche of money that we're supposed to be getting, £1.7 million will be spent setting this up, including the offices, the requirements for the mayoral and cabinet roles. The actual £700,000, I believe, is the figure that will be used for cost of election. Well, that would cover one of the points straight away for some of the budget deficits that we've got. Costs to the people. We say we're here as the servants. Yourself, you yourself said it right at the beginning, and I believe as a servant of the people in Cambridgeshire, I have to say for the fact, I do not disagree, money is the good thing. The housing that could come out of this, a good thing, but I believe that the deals behind it are not a good thing. At some point, it's going to cost every person in Cambridgeshire more money, and that can only be done by council tax raises, which we are totally opposed against. The power in the hands of a few, and in particular some caveat statements in the fact that the mayor could run roughshod over some of the decisions, worries me. It actually says that in the actual document. We were elected here, servants of the people. I don't think anyone here is arguing with that. However, with regards to transport, we would have to defer to that mayoral setup and cabinet and say, these are our proposals. Therefore, that's saying that what we were actually elected for and make decisions for is taken out of our hands. We can propose those things, but we're not going to be able to make those decisions. So why would we want to do that? Why would you want to put that amount of money in your back pocket and say, thank you very much, I'll just sit here and talk? Whilst we all stand here and sit here and talk, we do make some very good decisions, and we would have that taken away from us. So I can't support devolution. I can't say that some good things wouldn't come out of this money that comes in to Cambridgeshire. I agree and recognise that. I just don't agree with the way that it comes in, and therefore cannot support devolution.
Thank you, Councillor Dent. Councillor Walsh, you do of course have the right to give a speech at the end as the seconder of the proposal, but you're now speaking as the leader of the Labour Group.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, the Labour Group recognises that the arguments for and against devolution are finely balanced, but our conclusion is that the benefits of the deal do outweigh the risks. I'm proud to say, Mr. Chairman, that the Labour Group has worked responsibly with the City Council throughout the process, from the word go, when it began in 2014, and we have not at any stage, unlike some in this room, threatened the prospects of substantial investment in housing, infrastructure and skills. We recognise political reality, and unlike the barefaced opportunism of the Liberal and UKIP groups, we are working for the benefit of the people of Cambridgeshire. What extra benefits have been secured from this devolution deal since it came last to this chamber, getting rid of the three-county footprint, weakening the power of the mayor, introducing veto powers, a better and beefed-up scrutiny, and new substantial council housing in Cambridge has got nothing at all to do with the Liberal Democrats, who are about to vote against it. They need to get it into their heads that there is a Conservative government. It holds the whip hand. And if councils don't act as responsible and serious partners, the government means it when they say they'll walk away, as the people of Norfolk and Suffolk are finding out to their detriment. After 6 years of cruel austerity policies which are crippling local government, how can any councillor in this chamber go back to their electors, look them in the eye, and tell them that they turned down tens of millions of pounds for investment in infrastructure, housing and skills, in a county with a huge housing crisis, particularly in the city of Cambridge, and medieval infrastructure? As for the directly elected mayor, we do not think it is necessary, but the government has made its position clear. And as the polling research that is much more representative of the people of Cambridge than the website polling shows, the people of Cambridgeshire are willing to wear the directly elected mayor, about which they do have doubts, for the sake of the investment. The people of Cambridgeshire also realise that the costs are outweighed by the benefits. But it's because of the two Labour groups from Cambridge that there will be £70 million earmarked for 500 council houses in the city, the largest council housing programme since the post-war Attlee government in Cambridge, and frankly, anywhere else in any substantial city in the country. I've also been in discussions with Councillor Count and the Conservative Group and the Deputy Chief Executive, who I welcome to his new seat, as Chief Finance Officer, to use devolution funds to leverage 100% affordable housing development on the Works Causeway site, and I might look to Steve, Councillor Count, to discuss that later in the debate. Hard-pressed families in Cambridge have us to thank for this, Councillor Taylor, and I look forward to speaking to the good people of Queen Edith about it. The Lib Dems are going to vote every item down. I invite any Lib Dem councillor
to come and meet my private renters in my division in Petersfield, or to go to any council estate, you know, that place where people aren't as rich as you live, in Abbey, Arbury, East Chesterton. Come with me, look those people in the eye, and tell them that their homeless relatives, those people on the huge housing register, won't get housed. But it's all right, because you'll have been able to pose for the sake of your focus leaflets. So well done, you. And when it comes to complaints about the design of devolution deals, we really can't take any lectures from Councillor Nastinga. I mean, if you listen to her speech, you could hear very gently the sound of irony dying. Attacking the city deal, you designed it. The city deal was designed by Liberal Democrat ministers in government. This devolution deal came out from the coalition government. So if you're going to lecture about making deals with Conservatives, you might want to look a little bit closer to home, given that this was your party's proposals that suddenly you now oppose. So there's the city deal, not exactly the gold standard in devolution design, but we'll let that one brush under the carpet as well. But because there are serious politicians in Cambridge and South Cambridgeshire who are trying to make the best of a dog's breakfast of an institution to try and get proper infrastructure investment in Cambridge through the city deal. And we know what will happen with devolution, which is why we didn't want Councillor Nastinga on the combined authority for their own benefit. They will oppose, slow down, confuse, misrepresent, and nothing will be done for the benefit of Cambridgeshire. Mr. Chairman, the task is now to keep pushing for the second devolution deal. Priority number one must be the genuine devolution of bus franchising powers following the passage of the Bus Services Bill to break the monopoly of bad bus companies, provide genuinely good rural transport, and make sure unprofitability is not an excuse for not providing a service. There's a great deal still to be done on rail infrastructure. On housing, the £70 million for Cambridge and the £100 million across the county only represents the start, not the end, of dealing with the affordability crisis. We need to double down on making the county more equal, focusing especially on Fenland and North East Cambridge, and more needs to be done to integrate our health and social care services. The arguments are finely balanced, but the benefits for housing, infrastructure and skills really do make this a no-brainer. Let's vote it through and get to work on the second deal.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh. Councillor Hipkin.
I first need to make it clear, as I always do, that I'm not authorised to speak for my group, and they will all speak as independents, according to their own conscience on this question. The first thing I want to stress is that we're discussing today a deal. And I want you to reflect, if you will, for a moment on the meaning of the word deal. A deal is a compromise. A deal is a settlement between parties who've got, in some respects, contrary interests. It's an agreement to try and find such basis of common interests as there might be within the set of arrangements before them. So, yes, there are parts of this deal which I would have preferred were not included. There are parts, no doubt, that the government reluctantly accepted. But the fact is, we've got a deal. And a deal is a compromise. And it isn't enough for people to sit here and think to themselves, there are features of this thing which I don't like, and therefore I'm going to vote against it. You're voting for a compromise. I want to ask another question. Why did the government, under David Cameron with Osborne as the Chancellor, why were they so fond of this idea of devolution? Now, there is one explanation, which is that they sought to dominate local communities. Another, which I think is far more credible, is that Whitehall and Westminster decided between them that if this country was going to regenerate itself and become an effective modern economy, quite frankly, it had to decentralise. That it had to give more powers, more influence, more money to the regions, to the cities, where local expertise, local knowledge, local traditions suggested that they might know best how to stimulate the economy. I would much prefer that we, the local people, were making decisions about roads and transport and skills than that Westminster was. And I think Westminster has come at last to see that there are distinct benefits in delegating powers to local communities. So of the two possible interpretations, that they are seeking to dominate local communities, as opposed to they see the implicit possibilities of allowing local communities to create their own economic prosperity, I must say I much prefer the second as an interpretation of how we've got here. I want to, first of all, I must congratulate Councillor Walsh on his quite excellent exposition, because it's very much in tune with my own feelings about this. I think the scourge of our time is inequality, and I think it is a scourge which we would be foolish to go on ignoring. I think the whole Brexit thing, the election of Trump in America, certain features of ugly politics that we've got in this country are not only down to, but principally down to the fact that we have a large, what used to be called underclass, who do not feel that they share in the good things of this society, and because they do not share in the good things of this society, they don't feel inclined to share in the democratic rituals that we all value. So for me, the question is, how far will this deal address in a modest way in one part of the United Kingdom the question of inequality? Well, first of all, let's start at home with Cambridge. Yes, I'm a Cambridge councillor. £70 million for council housing? It's almost unheard of. I know that some people have called it a bribe, but thank you very much for the bribe, or the incentive, as I would prefer to call it. 500 families, possibly 500 dwellings, 500 people in a desperate housing situation who are going to find the possibility of a new home. Can we turn that down because we've got scruples about a mayor? 600 million for infrastructure. And let's just remind you that the point of infrastructure is not only that it makes an economy more effective, it is socially improving, in that more people have access to a greater range of jobs, of places where they can shop, of places where they can visit, than if the infrastructure is weak and poor. So these infrastructural improvements are going to help all classes in our county to access things like their work. And the skills budget, I also would like to emphasize, we have in this city some of the most highly educated people in the world, and God knows how many Nobel Prize winners. We also have young people who have virtually no qualifications whatsoever and who are languishing in dead-end jobs or who are still unemployed. Now, anything which can be done to improve the qualifications and employment outlook of our young people is to be valued. And that, too, is on offer. Eventually, we may even have a greater say over the franchising of our bus services. And that would mean that we could give community considerations to where routes were. Even on deficit routes, we'd be able to say, in order to connect remote rural communities with centres of population, we are able to subsidise these bus routes, which we can't at the moment. So let me finish by saying this. I do not want to exaggerate the decision that we are going to make today. It's a small decision in this bit larger scheme of things, but we've all, wherever we find ourselves, as politicians, as citizens, wherever we can make a difference, we should. And on this one, we can make a difference, and I hope we will today.
Thank you, Councillor Hipkin. Councillor Palmer.
Didn't expect to be called quite so early. I thought there'd be lots more people in the queue to speak.
Don't tempt fate.
But it's okay, when I've had my say, we can all go home. It's very interesting to hear Councillor Nasinga mention the city deal and how we should be very careful about going into a devolution deal because of the city deal and how badly it's set up. Well, I think it gives us two options. One is we look at the city deal and we realise how we shouldn't do things. And secondly, we shouldn't involve the Liberal Democrats. And that would clearly make things work a lot more carefully and a lot more quickly. Of course I'm for this. I've been involved, fortunately for me, I've been involved in the conversations to bring it to this council and to other councils. I've been involved in local politics since 2007. I'm sure like every single person in the room, I got involved in local politics because I love my community, and I feel very strongly that although I already live in the best place it's possible to live in Cambridgeshire, it could be even better than it is. For the first time since I've been involved in local politics, somebody has offered us some finance to be able to do that. Not pretend money, but actual cash enabled to make a difference to people's lives. You all know, I'm sure you do, you've heard me mention it before, that my thing in my town, if I'm going to go very parochial, and all the previous speakers have been city-based, but in my town, my thing is Soham Railway Station. Shut in the 60s, the early 60s. My generation, I'm 47, it was shut long before I was born. I want the people who live in my town to be able to get on a train. And I want them to be able to come to Cambridge and go to London by train, or go to Bury, or go to Ely, or Peterborough. I want them to have that opportunity. Now, to deal with Network Road is quite easy. They'll sit around a table with you and they'll say, we'll put you in the five-year plan. And you're in the five-year plan, but of course, if there's funding needed for South West Rail somewhere, or something in Scotland, or somewhere in Wales, or wherever, the funding's not quite there for your five-year plan, so we'll put you in the next five-year plan. And all of a sudden you don't quite hit the funding for that, so you're in the next five-year plan. And all of a sudden you say, well, I've been involved in council since 2007, it's now 2016, and I still don't know if my railway station for my people in my town can be achieved before 2026 because there's no funding. And then government come to us and say, we understand your problems. No government's ever done that to my part of Cambridgeshire, to East Anglia. Nobody's invested massively into rural areas. Nobody has said, we understand that if we invest in you, we will get back in spades. And that's what government are doing. You see, traditionally, outside of the city, which is successful in its own right, Cambridgeshire as a whole is also very successful. It's full of entrepreneurs, small businessmen, small businesses, businesswomen, people taking a chance, making a difference. But alongside those people who have traditionally done very well and made money, there are people who live in deprivation because rural areas, by their nature, are not as well connected, and the opportunities for people who are not necessarily able to get off their backsides and do their own things aren't as strong as the opportunities there are for other people. So what do we do? Because traditionally, because this council's been here since 1974 and nothing ever changes, traditionally what we do is we ignore that, we sweep it under the carpet and we concentrate on the city deal or whatever else is happening here in the city of Cambridge. And we don't deal with the situation. So here is a bribe or an investment or whatever you want to call it. I call it an opportunity. Here is an opportunity to finally connect our rural areas with our centre of commerce. Here is an opportunity to spread the CB brand throughout Cambridgeshire and beyond. And some of you may have heard me say before how Cambridge success, the Cambridge bubble, doesn't compare well when you look at our international competition. 500 miles is the length of Silicon Valley. Silicon Fen isn't 5 miles. Can we do better? Yes, we can. How do we do better? We get investment. Government have given us the opportunity. We vote for devolution. We sort out the infrastructure problems around Cambridge and beyond, and we solve a problem and we invest in it, and it brings us back money in spades and it gives opportunities to all. If you vote against it, I've got a little list here that if you vote against it, this is what you're voting against, because I've been very lucky, as I say, and I've been asked to draw up an infrastructure ask. Things that we can achieve with the money and the more money that will come in from deal 2, deal 3, deal 4, etc. So these are things on the list. This first hit, rail improvements, Ely North Junction. Not a great benefit to Ely, but a great benefit to Peterborough and to Suffolk and to Norfolk. Soham Station, Wisbeach to March Railway. Is that important?
Yes.
Of course it's damn well important. A14, A142 Junction, if you've ever queued on that road to get off it, the dangerous sitting in traffic to get off that road in the evenings is tangible. Do we want to sort that out? Of course we do. St Neot's Master Plan. The biggest, fastest growing town in the whole of the county hasn't even got a master plan to sort out the problems. Yes, we must do it. Wisbeach to Peterborough on the A47. Do we want to do it? A428, Cambridge St Neots. A10, Ely to Cambridge. A1307, Cambridge to Haverhill. A605, anybody know where that is? Peterborough to Whittlesea. And the A505, Royston to Whistleford. Then we look at deal potentially going forward. What can we do about this city? What options are open to us now? The city deal's got a bit of money. Is that going to sort out the infrastructure problems in Cambridge? We've got to look seriously at an underground for Cambridge and a light railway into the Shire. We've got to look seriously at a solution over a 50-year period, not over a 2-year period, over a 4-year period. I'm 47. I will be dead in 30 years. But Cambridge won't be dead in 30 years. Cambridge wants to be the strongest university. It wants to be the best university and the best innovative hub in the world. You don't do things by like sorting out the infrastructure for Cambridge in a 2, 3, 4 year period. It's a long period. You get the investment in. Believe you me, it can be done. I believe we can do it. I've probably said enough. But I will be voting for this. And I will be keeping an eye on those people who are not voting for it. Because if you're not voting for it, you're against everything that I've just said we can do. Yes, you are. Because you're either for it or you're against it. You sit on your hands or you vote against, you're against it. And you've got to stand up to the community and tell them why. Thank you.
Councillor Reeve.
Thank you, Chairman. Before I begin talking about devolution, I'd just like to reflect on what we've seen already in this council chamber today, even in this short interim into the debate. Whilst I fully accept Councillor Walsh's position on the Labour group with this bribe or alleged bribe that's come from government, remembering that last time we discussed devolution in this council chamber, Councillor Count and the Conservative group were busy telling us it's a zero-sum game, you vote for it or you vote against it, there's no new deal on the table, and councillors around this council chamber voted for it on that premise. And many of us, because of why we're voting against it today, voted against it then. And lo and behold, what Councillor Count told us wasn't at all true. Government had an entire new deal up their sleeves. They offered the city and the Labour group extra money for council housing, and fine. But don't be telling me again today it's a zero-sum game, government won't negotiate, because Conservative groups, along with us all over the country in rural areas, have been voting against these terrible deals that don't stack up, that don't add up in the long run, and the calculations just don't work. Not just on principle, on the sheer numbers involved in the promises being made. So, Councillor Walsh, we gave you a second option today, and the Labour group a second option, which was take the politics out of it, and we'll put you into the heart of this combined authority. For us, and for my argument, was so that we can make sure Tory groupthink and the influence of ministers in their limousines running council account up and down to Westminster can't overtake the priorities of this capital, of this county. And Councillor Walsh, you said no. The Labour group sold out to the Conservatives in Cambridgeshire. So I hope Lib Dems put a leaflet through every door explaining to the people of Cambridge that if you vote Labour, you get Conservative, because that's the reality of today. That's the reality.
Councillor Walsh, if you wish to rise to make a point of information, it better be one.
Information, I would just make one, which is that it's inaccurate to call the £70 million a bribe, because the government did not offer the city council it, the city council asked the government for it. So it's a funny kind of bribe that the recipient tried to, negotiate themselves.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh. I'm not sure that's a point of information. I think that's a debating point. Councillor Reeve, please continue.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to be clear, I'm happy that the second offer was better than the first offer. That's the point I'm making. When politicians talk about zero-sum games, don't believe them. That's the point. In terms of devolution, to put Councillor Walsh and his pro-Tory beliefs aside, to talk about devolution, I'm opposed to it for four reasons. Number one, and I've already heard it, and I can't believe I've heard one person say it, because the worry I've had is going around district councils and listening to leaders speak. It's a huge wish list. The list of promises that I've heard is staggering going around our county. Things that this small amount of money is going to be spent on. And today, thankfully, someone started putting those lists together. So I thank you, Councillor Palmer. We've heard today from a Conservative this money is going to pay for roads, the A47, A428, A10, A605, A5015, for new stations right across the county, linking up this county to the rest of the world. I've even heard today we're going to build an underground in Cambridge with it. Ladies and Chairman, I'm absolutely clear that the big danger in this devolution project, and I'm fully in favour of devolution, I believe in it passionately, as do most members of this council, the big danger is the management of expectations. And when Councillor Walsh starts complaining that the promises were unfulfilled, that this just didn't deliver what people said it would, then we will look back on today and say, Labour group, it was your fault, you let the Tories get away with it. In terms of democracy, we've had the debate about the problems of the strong leader model, the mayor. We've got the issue that now still exists in Cambridgeshire, where the Conservatives will dominate this small cabinet system, where seven people and an unelected LEP leader will make the big strategic decisions across this county, and frankly, what any other elected councillor or community in Cambridgeshire thinks can go rot, because it will be Steve Count and his band of merry men who will be deciding what happens in this town, in this county, whether we like it or not. We will stand up against it. The power is centralising. We hear of devolution that we're passionate about. I hear nothing going to town and parish councils. I hear of no money going directly to local communities to make the decisions on their own behalf. All I hear is these people in control wanting more power, more control to themselves. And then we talk about the cost. When this originally started, we were told there's no cost to this mayoral's office. The mayor will be subsidised by the spare time of our officers. Now we find that the chief exec, the new chief exec, will be earning £150,000 a year. The new mayor will be earning £70,000 a year. They will open an office. We predicted it would cost £1.5 million. They said it would cost nothing. Their office are already saying now is going to cost over £800,000 a year, and I bet we're at £1.5 million before we know it. The only real new money in this isn't the money they talk about. Bear in mind, our services have been cut drastically. Tens of millions of pounds have come out of frontline services in Cambridgeshire, and yet they tell us they're giving us new money, but they won't tell us where it's come from. Maybe I'm simplistic in putting the two together, but tens of millions of pounds goes out of our services and they have this shiny new offer of money, but you'll have to compete with everyone else to take it. The reality in this is there's only three sources of new money in this project. Number one is the ability for the mayor to raise more council tax from Cambridgeshire residents. Number two is the ability for the combined authority to put up business rates, and they will. And number three is the ability of Steve Camp and his merry Tory men to jack up the level of debt in this council to an unprecedented high-risk manner that we've never seen before. Debt that is completely not underwritten, we must note, by government. Because in amongst all these promises local councillors are making, the big problem I've got with this is that they talk about a 30-year plan and they give us big numbers based on that. The reality is there is no certainty in the 30-year offer being made whatsoever. In 4 years' time, when we've racked up the risk of all this debt that council accounts going to bring on to us, we could well see a new government completely cutting us loose and leaving this council and other councils to fend for themselves. Now, I'm hoping things like that don't happen, but above all, the people of Cambridgeshire I believe, have been very clear. They didn't want a mayor, they've got to have one. They don't want more taxes, you're going to force them on them. So for every Conservative and every voter who votes Conservative, when I hear no more taxes, please do not hide behind a combined authority when you start racking up business rates, racking up council tax, racking up debt in Cambridgeshire.
Thank you, Councillor Reeve. Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll try and lower the decibel level slightly so that people might go with
it,
eardrums.
It did wake up a certain number of people.
I'd like to start by thanking everyone, officers, members, Whitehall staff and MPs, for the hours and hours of effort that's gone into getting this deal on the table. I see this as an opportunity. It's an opportunity to get things done for Cambridgeshire and Peterborough, for our businesses and for our residents. It's very easy to pick on the infrastructure projects that are made possible by this deal. And no, I don't claim that the A10 upgrade will be fully funded by this deal, but it certainly gets turbocharged by the deal, and we will be able to use the deal to leverage in funding from elsewhere, and I think opposition members misunderstand that. The possibilities around the skills agenda and apprenticeships, getting people into work, are all very exciting to me, and I particularly endorse the principle of subsidiarity and believe that this can be so much more than simply passing implementation of projects downwards. I'm excited about the future possibilities that we may be able to get in the second, third and fourth deals. I want us to have increased powers in delivery of health and social care, and I'll be fighting for that in the second deal. But if we don't accept this deal, there will be no second, third or fourth deals. To the Lib Dems, Chairman, I would like to say please recognise the huge opportunity in this deal to deliver something that you care about passionately, housing. It's no secret that the Lib Dems want housing. Here is £170 million in your hands to really get going. A £170 million injection will make a 2,500 affordable home size difference. Don't vote against that. Instead, get planning on how you want the money to be used to leverage in more spending power to deliver housing for your residents. The powers that devolution will bring around skills and apprenticeships, really exciting opportunity. And I'd encourage the Lib Dems to shape what they want for education in the next devolution deals. I also know that they care deeply about transport, and members of the Total Transport Working Party have been involved in helping to shape a paragraph about freeing up the frustrations around the statutory concessionary bus pass policy to put to government for the second deal. Please embrace these opportunities, help to influence them and make them work for your residents. Labour are to be massively congratulated for fighting their corner and opening up the potential to deliver for the people of Cambridge an extra £70 million for housing in Cambridge. It's their doing and I applaud them. You hung out for it and you got it. To UKIP, I know UKIP love a referendum, and I know that they didn't get a referendum on this deal, but they did get an extremely thorough consultation, which I understand had one of the best responses in the country to any devolution deal. The consultation was clear. Businesses and residents want us to accept this deal, to bring decision-making closer to the people, and to take the power to allow us to be in charge of our own destiny. The opportunities for the residents of the UKIP members are immense. A university for Peterborough, the opportunities around skills improvements and apprenticeships, and of course the opportunity to make Wisbeach Rail a reality. Through the consultation, your residents have asked you to accept this deal. I know the UKIP group's got concerns about this extra layer of government, and I actually share those concerns. But this extra layer is made up of our own people from our own councils, and I say to UKIP, let's accept the deal, which is fantastic for the people in Fenland, and then fight for reorganisation of county and district councils in Cambridgeshire and Peterborough, and I promise them that I will be right there fighting with them. To the Indies, well, the Indies pretty much always do the right thing, and I feel absolutely sure that they'll listen to the voice of their local residents and businesses who've said that they want this to happen. Let's get on, accept this deal, and get things done for the people of Cambridgeshire and Peterborough.
Thank you, Councillor Bailey. I have 14 members who have indicated they wish to speak. The next is Councillor Williams, and when he sits down, I'm drawing a line under the list of speakers. Councillor Williams.
Thank you, Chair. Well, we've been here before with government bullying, bribing and blackmailing us, and that was with the A14 improvement. Cast your mind back 2 years, and we were being told in this chamber by the councillors opposite that we had to accept a toll road. If we didn't accept a toll road, there would be no improvement to the A14. But of course, we know that we are the powerhouse of England, the UK. The government requires us to generate the GDP to get us through Brexit. It's not going to sit idly by and allow our region to be starved of capital. It's going to come and it's going to ensure that we can deliver for the rest of the country. We therefore need to actually stand up, have some backbone, and say to government, we do not accept a mayor. I'm for devolution, but I'm not for devolution at the cost of democracy. And this is what we're being asked to vote for today. It's ironic, isn't it, that the government has said that it wants to transfer power down to a local level. And by the way, the first step is you have to accept a mayor. Maybe the next step is for the city council to accept right to buy in its council housing. You know, the council houses that are built today will be sold tomorrow and not available in perpetuity for the people of the city. We are dealing here, we have had so many people say how they will spend the money. We have spent this £600 million, which is over 30 years and not index linked, so there's no inflation built into it. We have heard this money spent 6-7 times over already. I heard last night from the housing portfolio holder, who's a member of this council, how we're going to spend that £100 million that's for Peterborough and Cambridgeshire district councils. Apparently we're going to spend it all in South Cambs. I'm sure if you go to Peterborough, they're saying we're going to spend all this money in Peterborough. It does not make sense. It is not new money. As has already been said, it is money that's been taken away from us in the past and is being given back to us gift-wrapped, a small amount, £600 million over 30 years. No guarantee that after this government we will even have any more of that money. We really need to get a backbone in this county and to stand up to government and say, look, we are the powerhouse of the country. You need to invest here, but we are not going to give up our democracy to enable you to have one person, a puppet, to do what you want to do in our region. I'm sorry, but it's not worth it. The amount of money on the table isn't worth it. That money will come to us anyway. It's not worth giving up our democratic rights in this region.
Thank you, Councillor Williams. I've now closed the list, and it seems that the Vice-Chairwoman and I are the only members of Council who will not have something to add, practically. Councillor Amanda Taylor.
Thank you. Devolution. As Councillor Count described it, power moving down. The power in this deal is not moving down, it is moving up from this council and other councils in the region up to a combined authority with its mayor. It is not democracy, it's more like oligarchy, with the power to the few people represented on the combined authority and the mayor. And those few, nearly all of the same party. The combined authority will be mainly blue with a splodge of pink. Rather like Councillor Count's outfit today. I believe there are many benefits that are offered to us in the deal, which we all need. You might say they were things that the government ought to have been providing for Cambridgeshire over many years already, but I think the deal is disfigured by the governance arrangements and the lack of democracy. The mayor will cost more money, as will the authority. The mayor himself or herself, well, probably a him, will be on a salary of £80,000 alone. But the new arrangements will be less accountable, less transparent and less informed. I think they're less accountable because there'll be no direct communication between the residents of our county and the authority and the mayor. No direct election. In fact, most people will have voted for a different party than those represented by the mayor and the authority. And if the mayor turns out to be an absolute disaster, there's no way of getting rid of the mayor. There's not even a provision for a by-election in the arrangements that have been put before us. And I believe less transparent is equally important. It's getting more and more confusing to work out who does what in local government. Let's take transport, since that's one of the major areas of this deal. Just with a cycle scheme in my own division, we have one part that's funded by Cycle City Ambition and run by the County Council, another part that's run by the City Deal, and we're having proposals for another bit going back to the County Council again. My constituents have this old-fashioned idea that they ought to be able to come to their local councillor and she might be able to try and sort things out for them. We've got more and more different levels of government. I won't be parochial, so I'll include South Cambridgeshire as my example. We've got parish councillors, district councillors, county councillors, Westminster Parliament, European Parliament, while we may, plus the City Deal. Combined authority as well, I think that's seven different levels of government. Over this huge area, I believe that our decisions will be less informed as well. How is a mayor and the combined authority going to know about the very acute housing, employment and transport needs of such a huge area? I think the answer is that they won't have the knowledge that is represented by a few hundred local councillors who are on the spot. And what that will mean is that officers will effectively take the decisions because they'll have the information and the knowledge. So, again, a lack of democracy. I think it's caving in, colleagues. I was elected, you were elected too, we were all elected to serve our communities, to get results for local people, and to use your expression, council account, to influence people's day-to-day lives. If we give away that power, we're giving away our scope to change things for the better. And it's not just our power, it's the power that's invested in us by the people in our communities. So I would urge you, don't accept this taking away of democracy. We hold it in trust for the people who we represent. Don't give up on them. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Ashwood.
Thank you, Chairman. You'll probably be relieved to know my point is fairly short. Much has been made about the £70 million that the City Council are getting for council housing, and I applaud that. I am only too well aware how desperately short we are of housing for people. But those homes once built will then become subject to right to buy, and when they've gone, they've gone. They're not going to suddenly find another £70 million to replace them.
Thank you. Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Chairman. I think there's something going on beside me.
Well, I'm sure as none of them have asked to speak, they're perhaps taking a subterfuge way of getting their points across, or they could sit down and be quiet.
I didn't want to cover the
please don't repeat anything, because my patience is getting short.
Because the amount of money being offered is relatively small, but I did want to address the comments at the bottom of page 6 about the potential to accelerate transport infrastructure and the potential for rail improvements, because I don't think there's any potential to accelerate any of these things under the new arrangements. The monitoring officer very helpfully provided a briefing note to explain how transport proposals will be processed in the future. And I've been trying to think how that's going to work with the Huntingdon District Council local plan, where officers from the County Council and the District Council are looking at the implications and the options of all the development that is being proposed up to 2036. And they're doing that through consultants, and between them they will come up with a set of preferred options. The district will promote the district council land use proposals, and they'll go to an examination in public, and the transport proposals will form part of the county council's proposals. Now, what it says here is that those transport proposals, which could be funded by the developer through SIL or Section 106 or maybe rate support grant or whatever, will then have to be collated by the county council and then go into the combined authorities transport plan. So what added value does that combined authority add to what we're doing? And if it's got to be approved by a two-thirds majority, including Peterborough, what influence should Peterborough be having over what happens in my division, which is part of Huntingdonshire, which is part of Cambridgeshire? And when we actually get to the individual schemes, the contentious schemes are going to need planning permission, and just like the Ely Southern Bypass, it is highly likely that there will be an examination in the public, and the Secretary of State will call in the decision, and the government will ultimately determine what infrastructure is actually delivered in our county. So I think the suggestion that we've got here, that there is potential to accelerate schemes, is simply not going to happen in future in practice. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hunt.
Thank you, Chair. I listened with great interest to Councillor Reeves' performance about financial management and how it all had to be spent well. And of course, it sounds very good, doesn't it? It should be spent well. But then I thought, isn't this the group that's got a leader who is on holiday in the Middle East, wants the council taxpayer to pay £1,000, I guess, or something like that, to fly back here, and then feels so convinced of his importance that he doesn't bother to fund the trip himself. So it was okay if the taxpayers were paying for a flight back from the Grand Prix, but not for himself. So I think the financial viability of that group is a little bit in doubt.
Thank you very much, sir. But
carry on,
And I would like to congratulate Councillor Walsh, because clearly he and his group are sticking up for Cambridge. They've managed to get £70 million for much-needed housing in Cambridge. And why shouldn't they? Why just oppose everything? It must have been a considerable amount of thought went into his group agreeing with ours. But he put the people of Cambridge first, and I commend him for doing that. I won't go through all the list of things that can benefit, because Councillor Palmer has done that perfectly well, and, you know, we all need these things. Well, when Liberal Democrats, they're starting to use the only reason that they're prepared, although they like devolution, but don't like the elected mayor, it's just because it might be a Conservative, and if that's what the people want. But of course, you have to think about the Liberal Democrats as a party that think it's perfectly okay to have 105 unelected peers in the House of Commons when they had 2.5 million people vote for them, and where this party over here had 3.9 million and only sit, I believe, two. So, you know, the idea of a Liberal undemocratic party is really quite bizarre. So, please, I do hold out a plea to both the Lib Dems and the UKIP people. Join us. Work together for the benefit of the people of Cambridgeshire. Swallow your pride. Put up with an elected mayor. Come along and vote for this. I really think it will be very embarrassing for you if you either go on record as voting against all these benefits, or probably say that you didn't take the opportunity to vote for them. So I hope you'll come and join us and see common sense for the benefit of the people of Cambridgeshire.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Councillor Rouse.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is more a personal observation. There is nothing sacrosanct about our system of local government, although it's nice to hear it defended in its present form. It was devised in the late 19th century when my grandfather was a young man. Since then, there have been numerous changes. My father was a county councillor on the Isle of Ely County Council. What became of that? Things do change and things do evolve. Today's decision, when we make it, is about future generations, not about our petty political careers, which will end in failure, or about our party politics, some parties which grow up and then blow up in a shower of ego. It goes much deeper than that. I have four children, two of whom are in the late teens, two are in their early 20s. They have no chance whatsoever at the moment of owning their own house, should they want to. They have very little chance of actually renting anything decent without someone else subsidising it. That shouldn't be so. I want them to have a future. I want them to have a future in Ely or this county, the same as I'm sure many of you do for your children. And at the moment, that is not happening. The only hope is that we build many more houses. Building houses in Cambridge helps East Cams because it reduces the pressure on us. Building houses is the only way, perhaps, to get some of the cost down. And to get that growth, you need the infrastructure. Yes, it won't all come at once, but if you have a list of what you want to do, you have a better chance of achieving some of it or stimulating that growth, which will pay for other parts of it. For me, this is about the future generations and their welfare, their homes, jobs, and their ability to take advantage of opportunities in a rural area. I mean, they'll even have the chance to vote for a mayor. You know, I haven't had the chance to vote for a leader of the county council until I became a county councillor. But they'll have the opportunities, I hope, that haven't been there to date. I will vote for this because I want to vote for the bigger picture. And that bigger picture is a better future for my children and the children of many other people in Cambridgeshire. That's why I'll be supporting this deal. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Cairns.
I think something is being lost in politics today, and that's kindness. I think we've seen this over the course of the last few months. Some, but not all, have acted and voted in this country and indeed across the pond this year because they feel disconnected. My fear is that this deal will indeed exacerbate that situation further, with another layer of local government and fewer people involved.
Councillor Walsh, can you please let Councillor Cairns speak? Thank you.
My fairly extensive experience of local government tells me that a deal is never to be taken on face value, whatever that value may appear to be. And I believe that accountability and inclusion are as vital as infrastructure. And if community do not feel engaged and connected and have a voice, then you, at best, are building houses. And I doubt that a lot of these houses will even come to pass in the way that it's expected. And at worst, you're building further isolation. We need a system which works for all. And I agree with Councillor Rouse that our system is far from perfect. But I think in this system that we do have, we have an opportunity to involve all who have a democratic voice. And we have missed this opportunity. And for that reason, I cannot support this.
Councillor Kavanagh.
Right, I'll try not to repeat
Please don't repeat. Succeed okay. in trying not
Maybe
to.
Maybe come in at a different angle on a couple of things. Yeah. I think with the discussion so far, as I say, many of the details about what's going to come out of transport initiatives and so on, it's all welcome. And I mentioned before when we spoke about this deal that it was houses, houses, houses that was the convincer for me. And the other convincer is buses, buses, buses. I mean, that is what people are requiring, and that's what hopefully will come out of this deal. Not just improve buses in the city of Cambridge, but also in the rural areas. But amid all the new legislations, you've got to be vigilant. Clause 21 in the bus service bill. The bus service bill has been going through the House of Lords, and there was a clause 21 in there, which was actually going to spoil my day if it had remained. But fortunately, Labour put forward an amendment. Clause 21 had been slipped in there, and clause 21 was going to take away the power from local authorities to start up their own bus services. But fortunately, Labour got in there and they had it out. And if you're really interested in the bus services bill, I believe it's going to its third reading at the House of Lords tomorrow, and then...
Back to devolution, Councillor Kavanagh, please.
Yes, absolutely. Talking on a positive note about things, the Mayor. I was thinking to myself, what do we think about when we consider the concept of the Mayor? Stop looking to heaven, Councillor.
I was looking at the light, actually.
No.
It's still green, Councillor Kavanagh. I can hardly believe it.
I think we've got a great opportunity here. You look at what the current Mayor of London is achieving. There's a kind of new character about that position there. There's a new sense of hope, I think, for what is going to be achieved under this new Labour Mayor in London. And I was thinking to myself, what could a mayor of our new combined authority do to put a stamp on our culture? And the other day, I was heartened in a meeting to hear that the City Council has agreed to increase the quota from 50 to 100 of the refugees are going to be taken in and given succour, you know, refugees from Syria. And I was just thinking to myself, if we had a mayor with character, with a vision, going to what Councillor Cairn said, a kindness, we could actually have, just think what we could do as a combined authority in actually being generous to peoples beyond our boundaries with this new wealth we're going to be creating. Yeah. I hope all those murmurs are murmurs of agreement. Anyway, I'll just leave it at that.
But thank you, Councillor Kavanagh. What a very wise ending. Councillor Clapp.
Thank you, Chair. Some time ago, we had public health come into this council with a large budget from the government. That budget has now been substantially cut. Now, all the figures these people here are pandering about, I want to see actual factual figures, not pretend figures. I want to see figures that tell me how much they're going to spend in Finland, because they've spent very little so far. I want to see figures how much they're going to spend in Cambridgeshire as opposed to Norfolk Cambridgeshire, which gets nothing. You might say, yes, you built some buildings, but who are they for? Cambridgeshire County Council staff or Finland District Council staff? Nothing for the people. Now, what bothers me about this deal, it's not honest, because we know what has happened. The combined authority will go from being democratically run at the moment, it will go to become an autocratic system run by one single party with one single mayor, and it will go back to a cabinet, which we don't want, with 10, probably 12 people making decisions for the rest of all of us, and I don't want that.
Thank you, Councillor Clapp. Councillor Chapman.
Thank you, Chairman. This was earlier on, it was a little bit of theatre going on, I think, and I was surprised to walk into a Faust convention. I find that it's obviously lost on some. I'm not going to refer to statements made in today's council papers which favour supporting this devolution proposal. I'm here to represent the interests of residents, not businesses, not lobbyists, and not a party rank and file which puts politics before people. Where in these papers are the views of my 40,000 St Neots residents? Do the views of vested interests of people count for of a few people count for more than the forgotten people living in West Cambridgeshire? I noticed that Councillor Palmer very, very kindly mentioned a master plan of infrastructure for St Neots, forgotten by Councillor Reeve within 2 minutes. So I suppose that's the way it may go. In stating views in this document that we've all been given, I'm not sure, did Cambridge University consider the impact of devolution on residents in my area and rural areas of the county? I think not. Neither does the LEP or its web of close associates consider the impact devolution may have on areas where employment is being drained away by enterprise zones elsewhere. What value are the views of the City Deal Board, a body which thinks Cambridgeshire ends at Camborne? And what value is the opinion of education establishments which have chosen to desert the county's second largest population? Yet we've been presented today with a document strewn with the opinions of vested interest groups, many of which share the same members, and a devolution document which reads like a wish list. I sincerely believe that my role as a county councillor is to speak not for business or academia or a political party, but for those ordinary residents trying to find a job, negotiating congestion, irregular bus services to get to work, small retailers and small businesses, and those wanting a better quality of life in the county. Devolution is not the transfer of authority to this council. It is the delegation of decision-making to another body, a body which would make decisions which affect those residents that I strive to represent. A body which consists of many of the same respondents to these surveys and consultations. Those with those pursuing vested interests, which have already abandoned the people I represent. I urge you not to sell out the people of Cambridgeshire. I urge you not to surrender the authority of the next council. And I will put people before politics and cannot support this motion. I hear promises of jam tomorrow or marmalade or whatever it might be today. I just don't believe them. Where I live, we've generated about £30 million towards infrastructure in the last few years, and not one penny of that has been spent in St Neots. So don't anyone here try to tell me that this deal will deliver more money for where I live, for the people where I live, for jobs, for education, for all of those things that have been removed in recent years. So please do not try to mislead me or anyone else in this chamber that this is beneficial to West Cambridgeshire.
Thank you. Now, members, we still have 13 members to hear, so I'm going to ask those remaining to speak to please confine themselves to points that have not already been made. Councillor Mason.
Thank you, Chairman. This is indeed a big decision that we're being asked to make today. The last time local government was reorganised or proposed to be reorganised to this extent was in 1973, and I'm old enough to remember it. In those days, we had primary legislation enacted well before the proposed reorganisation, and consultation with local government well in advance of decision. Now, the shadow authorities in those days were appointed well in advance of when that reorganisation came into being in 1974. However, this deal that we're being talked about today appears to have been cobbled together by the government as we go along. Members will remember the appalling arrogance of the government in the first deal offered to the Cambridgeshire, Norfolk and Suffolk, when the Chancellor of the Exchequer, the then Chancellor of the Exchequer, was going to announce it the day following this council's decision and city council's decision to throw it out. That sets the background of how government is trying to push this through. We have at the moment a huge number of documents that have been put in front of us at the very last minute, with statutory instruments still in draft form, and two briefing notes to members in the last few days. Chairman, the leader has, and I pay tribute to him, done a great job in negotiating this deal. We should all be grateful to him and indeed to the leader of the City Council for what they have done. However, the government has ratted on the original documents. The government has changed the goalpost as we've gone along, and the devil is in the detail. Let's just briefly consider the consultation process, which members have referred to. At the first meeting on this devolution deal, I voted in favour to proceed on the grounds that members of the public would be properly consulted as to whether we should proceed or not. Whichever way you interpret the results, what has happened is that we have had two different consultations asking different questions. In contrast to when I wrote to the leader after the first debate, I emphasised that all councils that were going to be subject to this deal should agree a common questionnaire to the residents. The leader assured me that that questionnaire was being vetted by and was subject to legal advice, and the questions being asked were subject also to legal advice and put forward in that way. We then had a Mori poll conducted after the results of the first consultation come in, which asked different questions of different people, and those questions were not subject to review by our legal officers, as far as I know. So what do we actually say now in terms of the consultation? Was it valid? Did it ask the right questions? Now, some of the questions could not be asked. For instance, were all the people who responded to questions about the mayor also told about the mayor's powers to raise new revenue and to pursue business rates? So, consequently, I think the answer to that would undoubtedly have been no. The small businesses would not have given an unequivocal support to those proposals. So, what was actually promised? When we got the document on the transport infrastructure, what was promised by that? The highway function, frankly proposed, is a recipe for total muddle. We have a county which has an acknowledged infrastructure deficit on transport, and yet we now have three possible transport authorities. We have the City Deal Board, we have this council as the highway authority, and we are now going to give powers to yet another authority. So this is a muddle, Chairman.
And on that point, I'm going to ask you to sit down, Councillor Mason, as I'm afraid you are out of time. Thank you, though. Councillor Dupre, anything new to add?
I hope so, Chair.
So do I.
I've heard it said that this is a gift horse that is so good we shouldn't look it in the mouth. That, of course, misunderstands fundamentally the whole point of the story, which is that the more attractive looking the gift horse, the more important it is that you look at it in the mouth. We've heard today that this is about £1 billion. Of course it isn't. We've heard that this is going to unleash, and members opposite have been painting pictures of an orgy of infrastructure of Wild West proportions. But we're talking about £20 million a year over 30 years, not uprated by inflation. And even if we didn't trust the government, I trust the government implicitly, of course, in everything, you know, but if we didn't, and if we said, can we have all that today, now, at today's values, it wouldn't build you a motorway from here to Ely. What are we talking about? We're talking about £6 million being spent in the first 5 years of this deal just to service the new bureaucracy. We're seeing powers going up, not down, more powers perhaps going up in Devo 2, 3, 4, 5, a hollowing out of the more local levels of government in favour of the more remote. And we're seeing the government enforcing its obsession with strong mayors, for whom there is almost vanishing levels of support in Cambridgeshire. The only way the consultation could get the public to come out with a yes to a mayor was by only asking the question, do you want a lot of money that has to have a mayor with it, yes or no? But I want to talk about something that hasn't been talked about properly today, and that is scrutiny. The leader of the council said, and I was fairly astonished to hear this because I had not read it anywhere in the papers, that the members of the scrutiny committee would be there by proportional representation. That would be a liberal dream come true, of course, but I don't think he meant that. What he meant was, and what the paperwork says, is that members of the scrutiny committee of this combined authority will be placed there by the member councils in proportion to the number of seats held by councillors across all the authorities. So far, so good. But the papers say those are the majority of members. Who are the minority? Who are these others? Nothing in the paperwork tells us who those additional members of the scrutiny committee are going to be. And the rather late, because all this has been very late, advice we've been given suggests that there is nothing to stop a Conservative-dominated, thanks to Labour, a Conservative-dominated combined authority appointing Conservative members onto that scrutiny committee to completely outweigh the politically balanced membership appointed by the authorities. So not only is this a new tier of government that is more remote, more distant, sucking up powers from tiers lower down, but it is also... Sorry,
I'm having an interruption of some kind.
Apologies, point of order. There are a lot of misconstrued facts and misrepresentations today, but this particular one, I think, is against the briefing notes that we've all had, where you cannot appoint things that imbalance the political proportionality.
Okay, thank you. That's, I presume, a point of personal explanation. Councillor Dupre, do you wish to continue?
I wish to continue because that is absolutely not the effect of the briefings we've received, and I'm sorry and somewhat disappointed that the Leader hasn't realised that. There is within these papers scope for members to be appointed to that scrutiny committee who completely outweigh and throw political balance out of the window. That means that not only is this tier more remote, sucking up powers from authorities lower down, but it is less... transparent, less accountable, and less open to being questioned and challenged. We've talked about this as a devolution deal. It isn't devolution, and it isn't even a deal, because a deal implies some level of equality between two people coming to arrangement. This is the imposition by central government of its preferred model of government, throwing a pitifully small amount of money in front of members today and saying, take it or leave it. It's unacceptable. And, of course, we all want money to be spent maybe just once, not seven or eight times over, money to be spent on our area, but let's have some proper cash that we spend locally as we know best how to do, and not this complete muddle.
Thank you. Councillor Henson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As far as I'm concerned, I shall be voting against devolution, owing to the fact that 95% of my voters don't even know what the word means.
Carry on, Councillor, carry on.
You may laugh, but I was at the doctor yesterday, and the doctor didn't know what devolution meant. So, don't think you're cleverer than most people. You are definitely cleverer than most people. The thing is, you're talking about having all this money, and you're going to get it from the voters. And the voters are the people that put you where you are. And I do hope that a lot of the voters realise who you are and who you vote for and what you vote for. And I hope they put that right on the ballot papers next May, because I think that's where the day of reckoning may come from. Parish councils, if they need any money, they have to go cap in hand to district councils to get any money at all, which is very, very hard to come by. If they want anything done by the county council, they've got to put 10% up front. And as far as I'm concerned, this devolution is complete blackmail. And the government could quite easily do a U-turn next week. So, as far as I'm concerned, our chief executive officer is adequate, and thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Henson. Councillor Manning, anything new to add?
Yes, I'll be brief, Chair. I was expecting to be impressed at the result of this vote, and I suspect I still will be, but I'm slightly cheered to learn from Councillor Hunt that we've got exactly 100 more members in the House of Commons than I thought we had. I didn't realise peers could be members of the House of Commons, but nonetheless, it's cheered me up a bit.
Let's stick with devolution and make it to the point.
Sorry, Chair. But to pick up Councillor Kern's point about kindness, I just wanted to say that both I was particularly moved, probably the wrong word, but I was interested in both Councillor Counts and Councillor Hipkins' defence of why they're voting the way they vote. I don't agree with your reasons, but I accept that they're at least well reasoned out. But I've got to pay compliment to Councillor Reeve in a usually rambunctious speech, but it made all the points that I would make about devolution.
Jolly good.
I should just make three brief points, if I may, Chair. They're going to be very brief. It's about the amount of money we're getting and the substance we're getting. 20 million a year for infrastructure has been quoted. Chesterton rail station is over 26 million, and that's mostly all there already, so it's not going to get you a rail station a year. 2,500 homes, population growth on our own website is projected to go up by over 50,000 in the next 5 years. It's a dent. And the final point is about this point about centralisation of power, and I don't think it's been mentioned yet, but this combined authority, I think Councillor Count did use the word minutiae to describe kind of the bureaucracy involved in the combined authority, if I'm correct. I don't think an authority that can raise an extra amount of council tax is minutiae. That's an extra levy on all the residents of this council. Whether you believe it's right or wrong, I find a strange position to be arguing against a Conservative group for imposing extra council tax. So for those reasons, it similarly isn't a deal I can vote for.
Thank you, Councillor Manning. Councillor Downes.
Thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to pay tribute to the work that has been put into this by the officers. It's increased their workload very considerably at a time when they're already grappling with lots of other issues, and I just would like to place on record our appreciation of that. Now, devolution is in itself a good idea. It's a principle that I've tried to put into practice in the various organisations I've worked in, including the County Council. In this particular authority, long before Councillor Walsh was born, we had the idea of devolving money to schools so that they could decide for themselves. No, I'm just telling you, I'm just a fact. This is 1980, 82. This council had the idea of devolving responsibility and money to schools so that they could decide for themselves. And that was a scheme which was so welcome and so effective that it became the national pattern. So I believe in devolution, and I've practiced it as far as I can within the organisation I belong to. But my concern about this deal, it is not really devolution. It is actually disempowerment. Because many of the things that we could have been doing are going to be taken away from us by this combined authority and by the mayor in particular. I'm extremely uneasy about it, and I'm anxious because I wanted to be able to vote for this, and I find I can't. Now, I just want to come a little bit to the financial side of this. We all had this rather bizarre correspondence between Councillor Bullen and Councillor Count about whether or not the County Council should pay for Councillor Bullen to come back from Abu Dhabi. And in the end, Councillor Count said that was not going to be paid for. But he then went on to say, if I felt strongly that my vote would make a difference in securing £1 billion of investment, I would come back. Now, when I'd never seen that figure before. £1 billion was a new figure in all this debate. And I'm a bit suspicious of very large figures. There have been some examples recently, what I call the Nigel Farage Boris Johnson school of politics, where if you are weak on your persuasion, you put in a large figure. So I looked into the billion, and by the time you scrutinise the billion and work it out over the 30-year period and deduct the costs of the process, the mayor and the elections, the billion comes down to about £501 million over 30 years. So it's not a lot of money, curiously enough. Now, Councillor Palmer... Councillor Palmer has listed the things we would like to see, and I agree, we would like to see all those things. But I'm afraid it's a completely unrealistic on the money to be allocated. I mean, we're getting an A14 now, which is going to cost £1.3 billion. And think of all the roads that were listed that we'd like to get for this money. It is absolutely absurd. Now, so the question for us is it a good deal or is it not a good deal? Now, by a strange coincidence, there was a stall outside this afternoon which was warning us about road traders. And the warning was not to be taken in by people who offer you deals which looked too good to be true.
City deal.
And here we are about to make a decision which I think, though our intentions are good, I think it is the wrong deal at the wrong time, and I reluctantly cannot support it.
Thank you, Councillor Downs. Councillor Scott, anything to add?
4 points, if I may. First, the Work and Welfare Act of 2016. This Act made stockholding local authorities and housing associations reduce their rents by 1% per year for the following 4 years. That meant that it eliminated $15 million from the housing revenue account held by Cambridge City over the next 4 years and eliminates $156 million over the lifetime of the business plan, which is 30 years. That meant no money for housing. The Housing and Planning Act 2016. This is forcing local councils to sell off their high-value stock when it becomes vacant in order to provide money to central government. Why? Because it gave housing association tenants the right to buy their homes with an identical discount as council houses, applying to council tenants, that is a maximum of £77,000 outside London. And that has to be paid by Cambridge City to the central government. Three, in 2012, under the coalition Liberal Democrat Conservative government, local councils were effectively made to buy a share of the nation's housing debt. Cambridge City Council borrowed monies over a 30-year period and rent increases were set at the retail price index as at September that year, 2%, that is £2. That meant relatively high rent increases for tenants, but it enabled the housing revenue account to plan ahead
and set aside money to build new homes and use right to buy rent receipts. However, in 2014, again, the coalition Liberal Democrat Conservative government announced a change in the formula as at September simply to be 1%. Now, that had an impact on the housing revenue account, but it meant that George Osborne at that time said that councils could plan ahead for at least the next 10 years. But in less than a year, he announced a 1% rent cut. That meant that Cambridge City was in a position where it could not do what it wanted to do, namely build houses. It's true, as the people on my right here, and I say right advisedly, they are saying effectively that we are being held to ransom by this deal. And of course there is some truth in that, but we need the money to build these houses. It's no point saying, well, you know, we'll give up the money and we won't build any houses. What about those people out there whom people have talked about in here who need houses? Now, therefore, we are supporting this proposal. Now, I must say, I heard Councillor Count say, and I couldn't believe it, that apparently Councillor Nessinger said on radio that giving up the devolution deal will still have the city deal. Yet the Liberal Democrats are doing everything they can to ruin the city deal, to wreck the city deal, to create the city deal as an albatross around the necks of those in the city who are trying to make the city deal work. I actually take objection to the notion that we are not working hard with residents to make the city deal work, just as we will work hard with residents to make this devolution deal work. Labor is a party of work. Labor is a party that stands up for the workers. On my right are the albatross around the neck of the city deal, the albatross around the neck of Cambridge and Cambridgeshire. We believe that this devolution deal must work, and we will be working to make the devolution deal work. That is why we are supporting this proposal.
Councillor Ashcroft.
The first thought I've got is the state of change is here to stay, and we've certainly been finding that this afternoon. As far as I can see, this mayoral combined authority is not truly beneficial financially because of inherent costs to the basic combined authority. What we need to do is to look at the overall combined authority without the mayoral precept and have it brought up to date, rewritten, and then reconsidered as such. What is already going through financially without the mayor? Quite a lot of the things that have been mentioned this afternoon are things that are in progress, and this new precept has got nothing to do with it at all. So what we've got to do is to see what's already in the pipeline and see if we can rewrite the combined authority without the mayoral precept and then have it represented here subsequently once all the bugbears have been drawn out of it.
Thank you. Councillor Shellens, anything new?
First of all, something new, I don't intend to insult anybody or any party here this afternoon. And I take as my text today the oft-used quotation, a bargain is something you don't want at a price you can't afford to miss. And of course, I support the principle of devolution, and like others, strongly against the principle of the mayor. Expensive, unnecessary and confusing. 3 points. Erosion of democracy, the so-called goodies, and a whiff of reality regarding affordable housing. Regarding democracy, sitting as I do on both fire and police committees, I am absolutely clear as to which is the more responsive to local input and better at holding the officers to account. The police commissioner structure is a roadblock on communication between police professionals and councillors in touch with local residents. Indirect representation, as proposed here, is a pale imitation of the real thing. Two, the goodies. Manchester, on Devo 5, is often held as a shining example of Devo success. Going well? Well, of course it is. when did you last see an emaciated guinea pig? But there is no guarantee that we too will be treated favourably if we follow this route. Academies lured out of local authority control by generous short-term funding now struggle for money. My parish council took on grass cutting from the county council. Originally, it was financed for 5 cuts a year. Now we have the responsibility for the same area of grass, but only get money for 2. There's a warning there. Supporters of the scheme speak big numbers, resulting from leveraging using the so-called 20 million to repay interest and capital to the banks, but recognise this means ongoing commitments to financiers, and as has been said, no government can bind future governments, as concerns about the durability of the new homes bonus now demonstrates. If the government says April Fool and stops funding, we will still have to pay back the loans. This is a huge risk.
Then, Order, Chairman. I think there's a lack of understanding there. I think that's quite wrong. This is a point of order. We've been told very clearly by government that the money, if downloaded straight away, if the money was borrowed straight away against the £20 million a year, future governments would have to adhere to that. So I'm afraid that that is a point of order and that is wrong.
Right. Thank you, Councillor Palmer. Would you like to finish, Councillor Shellens?
It's not the information I'm getting, but we can sort this out with handbags outside. Then 20 million isn't what it appears. Firstly, it's not our 20 million. Other councils get their share. We are but one of 7. Then, assuming government does continue to pay for 30 years, with an average 3% discount rate, the final 20 million in 46 shrinks to just 8 million in today's money. At 4% interest rate, now being openly mooted, the figure becomes an even more derisory 5.8 million across all the councils, remember. Were we to get equal shares, ours would be just £800,000 from which to close this county's infrastructure deficit. Even this ignores the cost of the mayor's office, £800,000, and elections, £750,000. And who believes here that the mayor's office will not increase in cost? In fact, when you add it all up, our part of the 20 million dangled beguilingly before us shrivels dramatically. Others have looked at the current exchange rate and find at present it equivalents to remarkably close to 30 pieces of silver. Finally, housing. Yes, we can improve admin processing to simplify and speed up getting planning. And if it's possible, why don't we just do it? But 2 points. Major building firms have no interest in flooding the market with new properties. It depresses profits. Hence their current land bank space for 300,000 properties, on which they are not building. The only way to get them to build would be to compensate them for profits lost, and that's not where this money is intended. At our briefing, it was patiently explained to me that I just simply didn't understand. We could build the houses ourselves. I somewhat impatiently retorted, with whom? Making land with planning permission available does not lay bricks. Just who is going to do the work? There are national press reports already of emerging skills shortages in construction. Post-Brexit, these shortages will worsen as skilled labour flows from Eastern Europe wither and die. Thirdly, finally, in this area, we have thousands of construction workers already committed to the new A14, plus some major housing schemes also committed. People, this just isn't going to happen. It is not a credible excuse for doing the wrong thing. In summary, I've not heard anyone suggest that the new government arrangements are, of themselves, a good thing. The advocates are so because of the so-called goodies. They say it is too good to miss. Well, I have demonstrated that the so-called goodies are rotten at the core. They are dangled before councillors to mesmerise us to do something that erodes our democratic duty. Remember, a bargain is something you don't want at a price you can't afford to miss. There is little of substance to offset the disadvantages. It contains huge risks. It is dangerous and not worth it. I ask you to vote against. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Gillick.
Very, very briefly, many of the things I wanted to say have been said much, much better. However, the thing does worry me, and this is not a criticism of Councillor Count, is the office of mayor is it's historical. We used to have rotten boroughs in England in the 17th century, and the mayor was the man. I worked in southern Italy, I worked in southern France, and I had to go through the local mayors because I was repainting a ceiling in a church. and I was travelling with a young woman at the time, and he said I would get my licence to do this if I gave him the woman, you know, so the church didn't get down, fortunately. And they also, the other thing about the European mayoral system, where this comes from, is that they can override. What we have in this country is consultation, and we also have the business of what they call them, inquiries. We have those. They're part and parcel of our freedom, because the law has to be appropriate here. It doesn't have to be a regulation. In France, a friend of mine had a... I was working there too, and he bred trotting ponies. They put a railway line straight through his farm, and the horses were just, you know, the business failed. There was no method of appeal. We have appeal in this country. It's always that way, because we are free people. We're not under the Roman law, as it were. We have our own law. And I think if we get the mayor in, it will... If Mr. Count did it, it would be fine, because he's an honourable man. But it's a position, when you see it operating in France and Italy and other places, it becomes a power base for Trump. I think that is a tremendous loss for us. And if this goes through, this council will evaporate over a period of years.
Thank you, Councillor Gillett. Councillor Schumann.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman, it seems that most of the main issues around today's debate has been around the mayor. I'm not certain that the mayor is going to be a perfect solution to the challenges we face, but then I've never lived or served under such jurisdiction, and neither have any of us. So it would seem that this is more of a fear of the unknown. I also note that a number of people have spoken about this not being new money, and that this is old money, or money that we've already had allocated. But I'd like to know where the £20 million a year have been spent in Cambridgeshire and Peterborough, because I certainly haven't seen it. I was looking at the word mayor and the etymology of the word mayor, and it stems from the Latin word for greater. Now, do I think the mayor is going to be perfect? Well, quite frankly, as I said, I don't know. None of us know. But do I think the mayor will be a greater or better solution than the current Whitehall and Westminster setup? Well, the response is that I find it impossible to conclude that the decisions taken by a directly elected mayor to Cambridgeshire and Peterborough can be any worse than the currently the decisions being made in London. Views of the people that have been asked around Cambridgeshire have been clear. They have supported this devolution deal. It is our duty as representatives to equally represent and support this deal. People have mentioned also about the councillors mentioned today about this tying our hands and future councils' hands. Well, if tying our hands, and I will be parochial when considering the area I represent and the access to education in particular, I would be pleased to welcome the infrastructure movements, infrastructure suggestions that Councillor Palmer has been suggesting, which offers access to Cambridge City, as we know, one of the world's leading education centres. That's an absolute life-changing opportunity for some of the young people in the areas I represent. So if that means tying our hands to that, then I'm quite happily tie my hands to that commitment. Other people have mentioned, or councillors mentioned today, about this being relatively small amounts of money. Small amounts of money, £600 million for infrastructure. And I will consider that actually the response from some councillors to this small amounts of money is to simply chuck it back. I'll think about that this Christmas when I get a gift that falls short of what I've asked for. I will simply throw it back and say, this is not good enough, I want more, and I'll see how I get on next year. I'm going to have to end, Chairman, with a comment which I had to draw reference to, and it comes from Councillor Reeve and his criticism of Councillor Palmer's financial predictions and commitments to infrastructure, in that I find it quite astonishing that Councillor Reeve criticised Councillor Palmer's predictions. And perhaps if we fall short, Chairman, we can use some of the £350 million a week to help prop up some of the infrastructure assets.
Thank you, Councillor Schumann, also for a view into your festive world. Seems a tad cruel, I think. Councillor Orgy?
Yes, thank you very much. I won't repeat a lot of what's been said, but I just wanted
or
to make a couple of points. The first is really about decision making. And on one hand, you've got decisions, as Councillor Shuman referred to, made in Whitehall by ministers with advice from nameless, faceless bureaucrats, advice that we don't see, but decisions that we receive. Set against open decision making based on an elected mayor, supported by representatives from each council, officers' advice, given in public, available for all to see. Which of those two alternatives would people really want to see? Which of those two alternatives would the people of Keynsford feel was best for them? So that's the first point. And the second point is really that we've been talking about this almost in total isolation from what's happened anywhere else. Councillor Shellens is the only person who's actually mentioned Manchester and the Manchester deal, devolution deal, and the various stages of it. Now, don't forget the Greater Manchester area is 10 councils, 9 Labour-controlled councils, and 1 Conservative-controlled council. They're not on their first devolution deal, or their second, or their third. They're already on their fourth deal. And so what we're talking about today is not necessarily an end in itself. It's a step along a road. And when we talk about the money that's available within this particular deal, there are other deals to be done if we go along this road. But if I was a councillor in the Greater Manchester area and I saw the Lincolnshire deal dead, the Norfolk and Suffolk deal dead, and then I saw the Keynsford deal, if I saw that dead as well, I'd think all my Christmases had come at once, because with the Manchester deal and going forward with one of the only players in town, then they're likely to be more and more favoured by government. I really think that this is an opportunity that we should not miss, and there's just so much available in terms of skills, housing and so on. So we're really, I've got no qualms about voting for this whatsoever.
Thank you. Councillor Walsh.
I won't take too long, Mr Chair, but there were some factual inaccuracies that do need to be dealt with, and I think just a summary of why we should be voting for it. But first, I'd like to start with a comment that was passed by Councillor Palmer that I think we all didn't reflect enough upon. And that was that by his predictions, you'll be gone when you're 77. But if your lifestyle's anything like mine, then...
47 is probably as far as it goes, so I'll say goodbye now.
Well, if that's what your lifestyle's like, then I think we need to go down the pub sometime soon, Councillor Palmer.
Moving also, swiftly on, Councillor Walsh.
Also, I'd like to thank Councillor Reeve for suggesting these be on the combined authority. I should point out, he said he would ask me 2 minutes before he put the motion. So perhaps it was not the most thought through of proposals. And I'm not entirely sure that my employers would have been thrilled about any more commitments in local government. At the last iteration of the devolution deal, it was voted against. Only one group voted in favour, the Conservative group. And the Independent, Liberal Democrat, Labour and UKIP groups penned a joint letter in which we laid out 5 key criteria. There should not be a 3 county footprint, it should be Cambridgeshire and Peterborough. That's been met. It should have the approval of the Local Enterprise Partnership and the Chambers of Commerce. That's been met. It should go to full public consultation that shows support in the round. We have issues about the representativeness of the website consultation, that's true, but for the poll, that's been met. We said that the housing and infrastructure investment wasn't sufficient. That's been met. 500 council houses, the prospect of further leveraging. We also said that the power of the mayor was too strong. Well, because serious politicians stayed in, we now have a system of proportionality for the overview and scrutiny committee. I'm afraid Councillor Dupre was mistaken in her analysis of the papers, and that's not what the legal officer said, and hasn't said in any group leader meeting. So if Councillor Nersinger gave you that information, she was mistaken too. We have powers of vetoes for the council, and we have forced the council leader to come back to this chamber to report back on what they do, and we've taken away the veto power of the mayor. So that's been met. So given that the 5 things that the UKIP and some independents and the Liberal Democrat groups have all been met, and they said they would vote for it if they were. Why are they not doing so now? I won't answer that question. I think we all know why. There are a couple of other things that need to be dealt with. The first is the right to buy point. Yes, that's true. Council housing is subject to the right to buy requirement, but you're missing something. And that's that the 500 council houses that will come to the City Council will not be part of the housing revenue account, so they won't be subject to its debt limits. So the City Council will be able to borrow from its own right to buy receipts, from the new homes bonus, and from this money to build even more houses, £20 million potentially, which you'll also be voting against. And as we keep building these houses over the coming years, we will continually remind the people of Cambridge of. Now, a couple of other things were mentioned. We had Lorna Dupre's orgy of infrastructure, which put me right off, I'll be honest. And then after he patronised me, Peter Downes made the point that sometimes you ought not to look when finances have been exaggerated. Well, does anybody remember the £1 billion city deal leaflet that came from the Liberal Democrats? I think you probably need to get your own house in order yet again, don't you? Now, it seems to me that if you're going to vote against all of this, it seems to me that you're like the man in the restaurant who's ordered dinner. If you're the Liberal Democrats, it's probably tap water and hummus, you know, to keep up your conversation about electoral reform. For me, it's venison and claret, with Councillor Palmer, I hope. But, you know, you've been told you don't have that. So what's the response of those who will vote against it today? I'll set light to the restaurant. Set light to it. We won't have anything. So the serious politicians here will vote for this deal, and we'll leave everybody else in their burning restaurant, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh, and what I wouldn't give to be a fly on the wall with your date with Councillor Palmer. And finally, Councillor Count.
Thank you, Chair. Before I make a closing statement, I'd like to two points of order. First of all, we'd like to ask for a recorded vote. We believe that this is such an important issue that people of Cambridgeshire would like to know how everybody voted it today.
Okay. Thank you.
The second point is, on the earlier voting, one of the votes, that of Amanda Taylor, is shown as being present but no vote being cast. So I'm not going to quibble about what happened in the past, but obviously with a recorded vote, we would like to know, particularly if anybody fails to support this, obviously other people might like to know who voted in favour of it, but there's obviously something wrong with the mechanism.
There is, yes. Okay. Was that the point you were going to make, Councillor Taylor?
Yes, through you, Mr. Chairman. I pressed my button, but I'm afraid my button didn't do anything. But I did support Councillor Lessinger's amendment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. The very first thing I want to do before I get sidetracked by trying to answer some of the comments today is to thank and praise everybody that has worked so hard to get this so far. Julian Beasley in particular. Martin Whiteley has been stupendous as an officer support, and I could carry on for 10-15 minutes naming leaders of councils, backup support staff. I won't. I really do genuinely mean thank you to all of them, and also those at DCLG and government that have enabled us to actually get an offer on the table. There are a huge amount of inaccuracies today. So I'm as close as you're going to get to this deal, and I won't get everything right, and even some of the facts Quentin and Julian have had to look at twice or three times to examine what wording means, but I can tell you that there's sufficient amount here today that I'm going to try and answer some of the questions, but there has been a huge amount of inaccuracies here today. And when I reflect, before I go on to the particulars, about how they come about, a lot of those were covered in members' briefings, in seminars, in responses from officers. So people have either failed to read the bookwork in front of them, they failed to understand the bookwork in front of them, or I have to say that some people have deliberately misunderstood or not bothered about what's going on today, because that's the only way that they can be saying what they're going to say. But some of the things that I will pick up on may be opinion, or they may just be additional information. One of the first ones I'd like to start off is the quote of £1 billion and whether it's worth a billion or not, and what we mean by leverage. All right. So there's been talk about leverage meaning that you can bring money in early, you can borrow it, but of course that has a cost and it goes against earlier. But I also want to talk about leverage, and I'll give you two examples. The amount of money that we're putting in, or the government's offering us for the housing, £170 million, is equating to maybe £35,000 a house. You can't build a house for £35, you can't get the land for £35,000. What it is to unlock sites that are presently locked out for some reason, the viability or the landlord won't sell or we can't put a road in. So we've looked and we're saying that for £170 million, we can build 2,500 homes, affordable homes. So if we're putting in £35,000 per home, and it costs maybe £150,000 to build that home, somebody else is putting in £115,000. So that is leveraged by our investment of £170 million. Another £200 million of other people's monies, like the HCAs, for example, is going to be invested in Cambridgeshire here and now in the next 5 years. And that's something you can't argue with or walk away from. You can actually say, is it £200 million or £180 or £460 or whatever. But the fact is we are not spending £170 million to build 2,500 homes. We're building 2,500 homes and using £170 million towards it. So on top of the £670 million that is absolutely clearly defined in the document, there's something like another £200 there, there's latest studies. If I give you a Network Rail example, Network Rail have been asking for £3.5 million or £3.6 million to do the Ely North study. Now at the moment, that may or may not come through Network Rail funds in between 2020 and 2025. Whereas, if there's an agreement from the LET or from this body or somebody with some money in their pocket to advance that, then we can get the GRIP 3 study for the Ely North done. So we talked about the potential to accelerate. So if the combined authority says yes to 3.7 million, it will accelerate the Ely North junction. And then once that work is done, they will go to government and they will say that this costs somewhere between 100 and 500 million. I can't be more accurate because unfortunately Network Rail weren't more accurate with me. But it's between 100 and 500 million. And it will not be the combined authority that has to find 100 to 500 million. It will have a business case sufficiently strong in advance that when other people are lobbying government for money, we will be there alongside them with our bookwork ready, saying we want some of that as well. So if you get that, it leverages in 100 to 500 million pounds of investment for what may be 3.5 million pounds. That's what we talk about with leverage, and that's what I mean when I say things like £1 billion. So I know that you've been able to belittle it down to as low as 501 million as an actual spending power in today's terms, so no disputing the actual amount of money, just saying what that would mean in real terms today. So if you turn down £501 million, at least you're clear that in your own mind you will be voting against or not supporting £501 million of infrastructure, housing, and ignoring all the rest of the things that are going on top. And in terms of that funding, I am tired of saying no. St Neots Master Plan would be a great example. St Neots councillors said to me, I want this done, I want that done, and it's absolutely true that it needs doing. And I go to the council, this council, and I say, where are we with everything? And they say, well, we put everything through the committee structure, we've got this much money in this end, we've got that many asks, and eventually that leads to a whole lot of people we have to say no to. Right? Well, when 20 million a year starts coming in, we can start saying yes to some of this. And when we start saying yes to some of this, Wisbeach Rail is another great example. We can say yes to the GRIP studies on Wisbeach Rail to actually bring that forward. At the moment, we are bogged down in this endless tirade of having not enough money to do anything that's absolutely vital for the area. Inequality. I've put a motion to the council. John Hipkins put a motion to the council. It's absolutely at the forefront of the way that I think that Cambridgeshire, Peterborough needs to resolve its way moving forwards. Now, in this particular document that's in front of you, there's stuff about infrastructure, so maybe the people from Wisbeach can access the jobs market or the hospitals better than that. But I'm working on devolution 2 at the moment. David Jenkins is helping me. Right? I know he might vote against this, but he's had the conversations alongside me. We had Public Health England. The chief executive of Public Health England came down here to talk to us about health inequalities based on an LGA speech. And when we finished, we had agreed with them, as part of the Devo 2 proposals, to bring forward plans to tackle inequality across the Cambridgeshire-Peterborough area. And they will lend us economic metric specialists to help formulate those plans. This is something that we're driving forward with in Devo 2, very much at the forefront of things. Those things will not happen unless we pass
Devo One today. And I tell you, the chief exec of Public Health England probably wouldn't be here if we weren't already talking about Devolution One here today. A lot of confusion about money. First of all, we are not asking you, the County Council, for £880,000 a year, which you could have used on winter gritting or things like that. The government has said you're getting £20 million a year, and you can use that for the election cost, the mayoral office, the cost of running things. So they're saying, here's a load of money, and if you need any money to run that money, just use it for that. You're okay. You don't have to dip into your own pocket. And that's clearly defined in the documents and the briefing notes. So saying we can't grit the roads because we're doing this is wrong. That's absolutely wrong. We can't grit the roads to the extent that we would love to do because our county council budgets are so tight. But remember, our county council budgets, without this, we will still be required to build the road network. We will still be asked for a St. Neots master plan. We'll still be asked to bring forward the Wisbech Trail, and we're going to have to find that out of our own money and make a decision whether to build those things or whether to stop gritting or adult social care. With the devolution deal, we don't have to ask ourselves that question. We can concentrate on those things that are about the vulnerable and the adult services, because the infrastructure side suddenly is starting to take care of itself. Subsidiarity. We talked, I can't remember who mentioned parishes, forgive me, there's a lot of people here. I can't remember who mentioned parishes, but subsidiarity is built into this document, okay? So the potential for government to devolve to combined authority is there, but also the potential, and I believe in it, for us to devolve to districts and parishes. There was a parish conference last week, 150 people attended, and Julia and I spoke at that, and we talked about how to involve parishes more, how to devolve more, because I'm not parochial. I don't think that the combined authority of the county or district are the perfect creatures to run everything. I think that we need to sit down together at all levels and get it down to the lowest appropriate level. And that's a clear statement from this county council already.
Getting towards the end, are we?
We will, if you like, Chairman. The other thing for accelerating. That one's political. I'm going to knock it to one side.
How sensible.
I've tried to, in my closing, rather than concentrate on convincing people who are absolutely determined to vote whichever way they're going to vote, is purely to burst some of the bubbles of misinformation that we've received today. I am still absolutely committed to voting and pressing the yes button, and I urge as many people here to do exactly the same for the right reasons. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Cant. Well done. I take it that we have 14 members to request for a recorded vote. Yes. That's pretty unanimous. Exciting. Mrs. Rowe.
Would members please press the button marked present? Members in favour of the motion, please press the button marked yes. Members against the motion, please press the button marked no. Members wishing to abstain, please press the button marked abstain. And can I ask Councillor Taylor to indicate how she wishes to vote in case her button doesn't work? No. No. Okay. I am now closing the vote. Chairman, the result of the vote is 37 votes in favour, 26 against, and no abstentions. The motion is therefore carried.
Thank you, Mrs. Rowe. Members, that concludes the business on the agenda for today. Thank you for your contributions, and have a safe journey home. Maybe I do need a little bit of a sugar boost. Thank you, Mandy. Oh, Peter Dool. Peter Dool?
Yeah, hasn't he been on the telly? I'll just say, you aren't there to be a hard man.
Well, I have to say, my patience was sorely jolted. Work tonight.
Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, he was on the telly.
tell you what, he wants to be the mayor, doesn't he?
Yes. He's a bit humble.
Huh?